Welcome back. Another edition of the Wobcast coming at you right now. I'm your host, Mike Wobshall, in Xfinity Studios. Producer Nate Vaughn is here as well. And we're pumped up because border battle number one of the 2015 season is here. It is upon us. Kickoff coming up on Sunday at 3:25 p.m. Central Time. It's right around the corner. There's been a week of amped up hype and preparation for this game. It's a big game. First place in the division is on the line. We do hear Coach Zimmer's message, which last week after the victory over the Raiders, he congratulated his team on the victory, on playing well, on a team victory where all three phases chipped in, and on being in first place in the division. But then he said, you know what that means? It means nothing right now because there's a lot of football to go. So we do hear that message from Coach Zimmer, but there's no denying this is a big game in the NFL and certainly in the NFC North this weekend as the Vikings and Packers begin to square off. So big, in fact, that Fox, who will broadcast the game, is sending its number one crew to Minnesota to do the game. They flexed the game from noon to 3:25, and they're sending Joe Buck, Troy Aikman, and Aaron Andrews right here to Minnesota to call the game. That's one way you know it's a big game. Another way you know it's a big game, Commissioner Goodell is going to be here. The commissioner is coming to town on Sunday to check out the new stadium, to check out the potential new practice facility site for the Vikings, and to take in the Vikings and the Packers at TCF Bank Stadium. Another reason you know it's a big game, this is about the most national media credentials the team can remember issuing since 2010 when Brett Favre was a Viking. Those aren't official numbers, but it just goes to show you a packed press box at your stadium means that you're going to have a big game, and the TCF Bank Stadium press box is going to be full. So a big game here on Sunday as the Vikings and Packers are going to square off. Two teams in the Vikings and Packers that couldn't be any less alike, but are neck and neck in the division. Green Bay starts off the season quickly. They start out fast. They start out great. They go 6-0, and now they are slumping after having lost three in a row. The Vikings are the inverse of that. They started out a little uneven, 2-2 after four games. They go into their bye week, they come out of their bye week, and they are surging. They've won five straight. Green Bay, defined by its quarterback play and a high-flying passing attack. The Vikings, defined by leading the league in rushing and stout defensive and special teams play. Green Bay wins their games in shootout fashion. They've had final scores of 31-23, 27-17, 38-28, 27-20, high-scoring affairs. The Vikings win grinders, 16-10, 23-20, 21-18. So these two teams are very close in the standings. They're very close in proximity. They play each other twice a year, but really when it comes down to it, they couldn't be any more different in how they operate and how they're constructed. They're both good teams, both quality teams, both well-coached, but they operate in much different ways. You take a look at the Green Bay Packers, and what do you think of first? Do you think of their quarterback, Aaron Rodgers, one of the best, if not the best, quarterback in the NFL? His record as a starter against the Vikings, 10-4, with a 32-4 touchdown-to-interception ratio and a 115.7 passer rating. I mean, that is going to give you nightmares if you're a defensive player, if you're a defensive coach, if you're a defensive coordinator, if you're Mike Zimmer. You take a look at those numbers, and you don't care that this team has lost three games in a row. You look at those numbers, and those numbers mean more to you than anything else. But what's been the key to stopping Aaron Rodgers? The key to stopping Aaron Rodgers, at least for the Vikings, has been pressuring Aaron Rodgers. When the Vikings have gotten pressure on Rodgers, they've been able to slow him down. Now, that's not a novel concept. That's the case with any team against any quarterback, but the numbers are particularly staggering in this area for the Vikings. In the four losses Aaron Rodgers has had to the Vikings, he has been sacked 23 times in those four games. 23 sacks in four losses. In 10 wins, only 20 sacks. So more than twice as many wins as losses, but more than twice as many sacks in those losses as in the wins. So that's going to be the key for the Vikings on Sunday, defensively certainly, is getting pressure on Aaron Rodgers. Now, the Packers, a little banged up on the offensive line. They've been giving up sacks of late, 11 sacks in the last three games. So maybe there are some weaknesses there for the Vikings defense to expose. We've seen teams do a very good job of trying to neutralize the Vikings pass rush of late. They've been doing that with some of the quick passing game, the wide receiver screens, the quick slants, things like that. It wouldn't be a surprise to see Green Bay incorporate some of that into their game plan this week. But if the Vikings can build a lead, if the Vikings can perform well against the run, they're going to get this Packers offense into some obvious passing situations where they have to put Aaron Rodgers on 5 and 7 step drops, and that's when Everson Griffin and Tom Johnson and Sharif Floyd can pin their ears back and hopefully get after him. For the Vikings, offensively, what must they do? I think they have to get physical in the running game and make Green Bay stop it. Make them prove that they can stop the Vikings running game. The Vikings come into the game leading the league in rushing as a team and with the NFL's leading rusher, Green Bay, just 23rd in run defense. The Vikings have done a very good job of late running in run-heavy formations with two or three tight ends and a fullback. Green Bay has not seen a lot of that this season. Only 30 times have teams run out of 13 personnel, 22 personnel, or the jumbo formation. The Vikings have run out of those formations 77 times this season. They're averaging 5.5 yards per carry when they run out of those formations. So that could be an interesting angle to this game if the Vikings bring the power running game early and often in this matchup to make Green Bay prove they can stop it. Speaking of the power run game, the Packers have a power running game when they have their power running back in the game, but he hasn't been playing much lately, and when he has been playing, he hasn't been playing very well. Who is that? It's Eddie Lacy. His absence is a bigger deal this week than it was last week, even though last week it was kind of a bigger storyline. This week it's a huge storyline. Not a good start to the season for Eddie Lacy. He was inactive last week, but historically against the Vikings, Eddie Lacy, very good. 4 games played against the Vikings, 6 touchdowns, 2 100-yard games. So he's had some success against the Vikings, but he was inactive last week. He's on the injury report this week, so his status is up in the air right now. It'll be interesting to see if he can make it. A couple more things here to complete the deep dive on the Vikings and Packers game preview. Injuries. We hate talking about them, but we're getting to the point in the season where they are important and they're impacting games on a weekly basis. We got good news and bad news for the Vikings. The good news: Eric Kendricks looks like he's going to be back. The Vikings' starting middle linebacker, a rookie, has missed the past 2 games. Fortunately, Chad Greenway stepped in and has played well. Brandon Watts stepped in and played a little bit more, and he played well. But the good news is Eric Kendricks looks to be on track to being back in the middle of this Vikings defense. That's going to give those guys a little bit of a boost. On the other side of the ball, we've had Matt Khalil pop up on the injury report with a toe injury. So that bears watching for the rest of the week. And then, of course, on game day, hopefully Matt can make it. Left tackle about as important a position on the offensive line as it can get, because it protects the quarterback's blind side, and Matt is having a very good season. Banged up offensive linemen is the norm in Green Bay right now. 4 of their 5 starting offensive linemen on the injury report. Starting guard TJ Lang with a shoulder. Fellow starting guard Josh Sitton with a knee. You have right tackle Brian Bulaga on the injury report with a knee, as is starting left tackle David Bakhtiari. So I think all those guys are going to make it to the game. At least I think the odds are in their favor of making it, but all 4 are on the injury report. So that's something to note. A few others on the injury report for the Packers: Clay Matthews with an ankle and a knee. He's been limited for much of the week. Micah Hyde, who returns punts and kicks for them, is also a defensive back. He's on the injury report. Starting safety Morgan Burnett, starting wide receiver James Jones. So Mike Neal, an important defensive player for them, he's on the injury report. We're getting to that point in the season, folks, where injuries are becoming a factor. Now, a lot of these guys for the Packers are practicing on a limited basis in practice, so they should be able to go on Sunday, but it does bear monitoring throughout the week, and then once we get to Sunday and the 90-minute mark, which is when both teams are required to submit their inactive list. Last thing, the Zimmer checklist update. It's an easy one this week, folks. We know that Mike Zimmer listens to the Wobcast, and he likes to have a checklist of things that his players supposedly can't do so that he can motivate them to finally get over the hump and do it. And for this week, it's easy. You can't beat Green Bay. The Vikings 1-9-1 against the Green Bay Packers in their last 11 games. I think this team is ready to turn the tide, reverse the trend, and get a victory over the Green Bay Packers. All right, let's get an outsider's perspective at this Vikings and Packers matchup. To do that, we go to our friends at the NFL Network. Mark Istook and MJD take a look at the matchup. Remember, Maurice Jones-Drew picked against your Vikings last week as they took on the Oakland Raiders. He came out on the wrong end of that one. This week, MJD takes a look at the Vikings and Packers. Who does he like?
Boy, MJD, who'd have thunk it heading into week 11 that this matchup would there'd be as much at stake for this Green Bay-Minnesota game as there is? You've seen a Packers team that's almost unrecognizable in recent weeks. Meanwhile, you've got Minnesota, a lot of enthusiasm, excitement about a team with some young playmakers, some older playmakers, guys getting it done. Let's look at the Packers first. Aaron Rodgers has not looked like the Aaron Rodgers we know in the past 3 weeks.
Well, the receivers have to get open, and that's the key to this game. You know, teams have played cover one, bump and run, and these guys aren't getting open. You're looking at Davante Adams here, who they've been excited about throughout training camp. He's coming off the ankle injury. He's not doing well. You have receivers banged up. You're playing guys that don't normally play, that don't have the same, you know, confidence with Aaron Rodgers as obviously Jordy Nelson and Randall Cobb and James Jones and guys like that. And they got to get back on track. These guys got to create separation. As you see here, this whole video is just about no separation. Guys is getting this work.
It's no separation. It's also balls that are 2 or 3 yards off the receiver as well. And for a quarterback that can throw his guys open, it's just they're not connecting this year like we've seen in the past.
No, they're not. I mean, Aaron Rodgers right now has a span of 5 games where he's had completed 65 or less percent of his passes. That's tough.
It's tough to see that if you're a Packers fan. If you're a Vikings fan, though, you are enthusiastic about what you've seen from your team recently. This is a huge game for them in the North.
Yeah, North Turner, he's finally listened. You know, Norv, I've been talking to you as of lately, and Ike has as well. Put AP in the dot and let him run. When you do that, great things tend to happen. How about 206 yards in Oakland?
I don't know.
That could work out. That can help your young quarterback in the passing game. How about having your young quarterback?
Look at him pull away from guys.
Exactly.
Too. We didn't see that in the first couple weeks of the season.
No, I mean, the guy can still run if he has to. And that's the biggest thing. I think you have a young quarterback. He's finding ways to get AP the ball. Feed this man. He is your best weapon. You're allowing your quarterback, when you run the ball, you allow your quarterback to see simple coverages. This guy, AP, is playing an all-time high right now. And, I mean, like he said before, he wants to go for 2,500. He's on pace to go over 2,000. This is exciting to see.
Like I said before, I think a lot of people were surprised, would have been surprised at the beginning of the year to see this game have as much at stake. Who ends up coming out of it victorious?
Minnesota. Man, Minnesota's going to win this game just on the fact that Green Bay's defense is not built to play down going against the run. They can't stop the run. And I really think that the Vikings defense is going to go out there and play press man against these receivers. And that's going to suck for Aaron Rodgers. It's going to be cold. You can't throw the ball the same. They can't run the ball. Minnesota's going to run away with this thing in a landslide.
Yeah, it should be a fun one to watch if you're a fan of the NFC North or just football in general.
Or just a Vikings fan.
It's the Vikings and the Packers in week 11.
Our buddy Mike Silver was out in Oakland watching the Vikings and the Raiders game. He joined up with his buddy from the NFL Network, Greg Rosenthal. They talked a little Vikings, and it sounds like Mr. Silver came away impressed with what he saw from the Vikings in Oakland.
Mike Silver is back. Greg Rosenthal, editor as well for Around the NFL, back with us in the newsroom. Gentlemen, Packers and Vikings, as it stands now, Minnesota 7-2, Green Bay is 6-3. There's actually a chance here, Rosenthal, start with you, for Minnesota to get some separation here. Who would have thought that week 11?
And it wouldn't be that surprising if they win this game. I'm taking them to win because they have the players playing the best right now. The two players playing the best, Linval Joseph, the nose tackle for the Vikings, and Adrian Peterson. The defensive line for the Minnesota Vikings is so deep. And Joseph is having a defensive player of the year type of season. I know you had your guy, Michael Silver, Aqib Talib, that you love, but no one is playing the position right now any better than Joseph. And this Packers team is not a good run-blocking team. I do not think they're going to be able to run the ball against Minnesota. And that means Aaron Rodgers has to go back, throw the ball 50 times. That's the way to beat Minnesota. And I don't think he's really built to do that right now.
Well, I got to see your man crush, Derek Carr, live for the first time on Sunday, and he's very good. You are correct. And then my new man crush, Teddy Bridgewater, was also there. And you know what? Doesn't show up in the numbers, but I really love what I see from young Mr. Bridgewater, keeping plays alive, using his feet, showing his brain. So I love what the Vikings are doing.
It's easy to go to the micro level and look at this Vikings-Packers matchup as an NFC North matchup, but this game could have some implications from the NFC perspective as a conference. That's what the guys at Inside the NFL took a look at. They took a look at the Vikings compared to other NFC powers.
All right, America, raise your hand If you had the Panthers, the Vikings, and the Cardinals as your top three teams in the NFC vying for home field advantage in the postseason. Yeah. Stop lying. I see you sitting there. No, you didn't have that.
Well, here's the deal. Here's the deal. Wow is right, but there's a lot of reasons why these three teams are where they are right now. The way that I have them ranked, I have the Cardinals number one.
Absolutely.
I have Carolina number two, and then I have the Vikings number three. And the reason that I have the Cardinals number one is because they can do it all. They have a terrific secondary. They have Calais Campbell on the defensive line. Carson Palmer showed a lot of guts in that game against Seattle on Sunday night. I like the reemergence of both Chris Johnson and Larry Fitzgerald. They got a bomb squad. They throw the ball down the field. If they can get Mike Iupati back, because that was obviously a big missing piece for them against the Seattle Seahawks when he went down, they are going to be the force to be reckoned with here the rest of the way.
Agreed. I like how you said Iupati.
Iupati.
That was pretty good, yeah. A couple things. You know, it was interesting after the game was over against Seattle, Arizona. Pete Carroll, of course, went over and hugged Carson Palmer because they started together at USC. Mm-hmm. And Pete Carroll's the one that named him Jugs because he's a Jugs machine when he throws the football. Yeah. I mean, have you ever seen
he's
a team,
a
Brandon? Every ball is a perfect spiral. Yeah.
You know, but I call you Jugs, but not for that reason.
Really?
Wow, that kind of hurt.
All right, Jugs. So when I sat down and saw that we were doing this segment, I tried to find anything to validate this. Defense, coaching, running game, draft picks. But to be honest, there's nothing here that validates that these three teams would be sitting here right now.
I can tell you what it is.
Oh, but they got three great coaches. They got great young quarterback in Minnesota.
But the question is, did we think? No one thought
well,
that.
You
have the Cardinals. Yes, I mean that's an obvious pick.
I had Minnesota.
But Minnesota. It,
yes, you both had Minnesota.
I had Minnesota. I also had Miami too. But
you had Minnesota as a playoff team.
I did. I didn't necessarily
not
know
a top
where
three.
Would be
the question is top three.
I understand that, but you know it's a long NFL season. We've learned that, right? But I'll tell you, all three teams are well coached. All three teams have significant veteran presence. All three teams have some of the best players at their respective positions. You take a look at Carolina with Davis and Kuechly in the middle of that defense, Calais Campbell for Arizona. You take a look at the young linebackers for Minnesota, Adrian Peterson and Chris Johnson finding the fountain of youth along with Larry Fitzgerald. These are three great stories.
Let me just say this because Boomer interrupted me last time. I never got to finish any of my thoughts, so let me do it now. I'll tell you what the common denominator is for all three of these teams. Okay, don't wear it out. They're all three of the biggest teams in the NFL. Mm-hmm. So when it all comes down to, we talk about all this fancy stuff all the time, who's big and powerful? The other thing I like about, you talk about Arizona would be my number one, Minnesota number two. Mike Zimmer and Bruce Arians, you know why I admire them so much? Not only for the success and what they do, they never politicked for a job in the NFL.
That's right.
And we know these assistant coaches. I'm pretty sure.
Big picture, can any of these teams win a Super Bowl?
Yes.
Can they beat the New England Patriots?
I would think.
Sorry, Brandon.
So you're just putting the New England Patriots in the Super Bowl?
I'll see them at Super Bowl 50, yes.
Okay. So without Edelman, without Deion Lewis, you know, there's a lot of things that go on in the NFL season. We're seeing this in Denver, too. But all three of these teams, in my estimation, are all good enough to win a Super Bowl.
Okay.
The question is, who will be the healthiest and who will have home field advantage?
Okay, it's time for three threats. Let's take a look at the Vikings' opponent this week. It's the Green Bay Packers, and Nate Vaughn is going to identify three threats you should watch out for on Sunday afternoon.
The first threat from the Green Bay Packers' defensive side is Clay Matthews, number 52. The Claymaker, yes. Sort of a utility linebacker he's become in his time in Green Bay, not just specifically the sacking linebacker. He does a little bit of everything now because he has to.
Yeah, he's good. I mean, I think that's a big football family, the Matthews family. And I think he's got such great instincts that you could pretty much play him anywhere in the front seven and maybe even at safety, and he'd be a good player. And the Packers are kind of testing that theory out. Of course, he was the dynamic, awesome, explosive edge rusher as an outside linebacker in this 3-4 defense, but they've slid him inside a little bit now because of injuries and some talent issues. They play Clay Matthews almost, I would say, primarily as an inside linebacker. So he's taken on blockers a lot at the second level. He's shooting gaps in the run game, being a physical inside linebacker, as well as being an explosive pass rusher on the edge in some obvious passing situations. So on first and 10 or second and 5, you're going to see him lined up as a stacked linebacker on the inside. But on third and 9 or third and 15, he's going to be on the edge going against Khalil. trying to rush the passer. So a versatile guy. He can move around before the snap. He can pressure in the A-gap pre-snap. He can line up as a stack linebacker. He can line up on the edge. So very good player. Obviously one of the top threats on the Packers, and a guy who just seems to make big plays on a week-by-week basis.
From a Packers linebacker to a guy our linebackers are probably going to be chasing around quite a bit. You talked about Eddie Lacy and how he's been inactive officially or just sitting on the bench inactive for a lot of this season so far. Well, the guy that's been in is James Starks.
Yeah.
And he's been, for the most part, he's been pretty effective, especially when it comes to the screen game. And I think that's, especially in these past three games where the Packers have struggled, one thing that they've still been able to do for the most part is get that screen game going.
Yep. And, you know, and he's a big part of that. As you said, 25 receptions on the season for James Starks. And he has a couple of touchdowns in his career against the Vikings. And even as a ball carrier, he's good. He's averaging 4 yards per carry this season, but 5.3 as a ball carrier against the Vikings in his career. So Vikings fans are probably familiar with old number 44 because he seems to rack up the yards against the Vikings. So I think even if Eddie Lacy plays, James Starks is a guy you have to watch out for. If Eddie Lacy does not play, you really got to watch out for James Starks because he's going to be in the game all the time. He's a smart player, good in pass protection, good in the passing game, good carrying the ball, good team guy, been around there for a long time, knows that offense in and out. Aaron Rodgers can trust him. And you're right, our linebackers will probably be chasing him around all day, and hopefully you know, they can get him near the line of scrimmage most of the time.
So he's going to be on the receiving end of a lot of passes from our third threat that we're going to look at. You can't look at the Packers without looking at Aaron Rodgers. Right. You talked about his stat line against the Vikings, that, and like you said, it's enough to make any Vikings fan or coach or player a little bit nervous.
It's unbelievable. I mean, 32-4 touchdown to interception ratio. That's as clean a football pretty much as you can play in the NFL.
Yeah.
You know? And, you know, I think you look at the Packers' three-game losing streak and some of the numbers certainly are not very flattering in those three games, but that's just three games. There were six games before that where Aaron Rodgers was lighting the world on fire. And I know maybe as a team some of the passing numbers aren't so great, but Rodgers is still playing well. And Mike Zimmer has said as much this week. He said, when I turn the tape on, I see the same old Aaron Rodgers. For the most part. So, you can't let him sit back and sit in the pocket and pick you apart. You got to get after him. I think you play a lot of man coverage against these receivers. They don't have Jordy Nelson, of course. So, I would really put the pressure on these receivers to get open for Rodgers. I would play a lot of man. I would press. I would make him gain separation and get open. And because I think if you just sit back and play zone and don't pressure, I think Aaron Rodgers is eventually going to pick you apart. So this is the biggest threat. You know, last but certainly not least in three threats is Aaron Rodgers, and for good reason. He's public enemy number one, for lack of a better term, on Sunday for the Vikings.
All right, before we move on, let's talk some more about a player that we think Vikings fans should be talking more about. It's Rhett Ellison. We talked about it in the earlier Wobcast of the week, just how valuable he is. I mean, he was on the field for all 9 scoring plays against Oakland.
Well, I mean, it's like Rhett is on the field for all 9 scoring plays last week, and that's pretty cool because he's the only Viking to do that, and I can't imagine there are very many games where a player has, or a team has a player who was on the field for all of their scoring plays in a game. That means a guy is pretty versatile. But Rhett isn't on the field for just scoring plays. Rhett's on the field pretty much all the time. He was on the field for 54 snaps in the Oakland Raiders game total, offense and special teams, and 38 of 59 offensive snaps. So Rhett Ellison is not getting the ball a bunch, but Rhett Ellison is on the field, and he's a very important part of what the Vikings are doing. He's an important part in the run game, and he's an important part of the special teams game. So Rhett Ellison, very important player for the Vikings, doing a lot of different things and helping the Vikings win in a lot of different ways. So we don't talk about Rhett very much, but we should be because he's doing a great job for this team.
All right, next we'll take a fan question. This question comes in from Alex.
Okay.
Alex wants to know, Wobby, Teddy's numbers haven't been amazing as of week 10, but if a team is able to somehow stop Adrian, do you think Teddy can win us games on his own? Do you think he can win games just by passing?
I do. And we haven't seen Teddy do that for an entire game yet. We haven't seen the big glitzy box score from Teddy. But a couple of things. One, they, you know, teams haven't been able to stop Adrian, so Teddy hasn't needed to do that. And I really don't think Norva's asked Teddy in the passing game to do that quite yet. So that they haven't done it, to me, is not an indictment on their ability to do it. To me, it's just more circumstantial. And I know that may sound like we're making excuses for him, but let's also remember this. You know, the Vikings went down early to the Detroit Lions in Detroit, 14-3, bounced back and went on a flurry. And I think the passing game was an important part of that. And how about at Chicago, when the Vikings went down late in the game after Jay Cutler's touchdown run? Vikings scored 10 points in the final 1 minute and 49 seconds, I believe. And a lot of that was Teddy Bridgewater's passing. And in fact, the touchdown we scored to go to tie the game was a 40-yarder from Teddy to Diggs. So, you know, I think when asked to do it, Teddy and the passing game have responded. I know that the box scores have not been big and glitzy and glamorous, but we haven't asked them to be yet. So to me, this is a balanced team. And I know some people will look at the stats and say it doesn't look balanced, but I don't think statistics tell the story of whether a team is balanced or not. I think it's all about when you have to run, can you run? Yes is the answer for the Vikings. And when you've had to pass, were you able to pass? And I think citing those two examples at Detroit and at Chicago will tell you that, yes, when the pressure has been on the passing game and we needed a big play from Teddy's arm and from our receivers, we've gotten it. And so, yeah, I would love to see the numbers get bigger and have 300-yard passing days, but winning the games is a more important outcome. And so far, the offense is doing what it needs to do to win games. So, you know, we'll see what happens this week against the Green Bay Packers. I happen to think this is a good matchup for our running game. So this might be another week where Teddy doesn't have a big box score. But if the Vikings win the game at the end of the day, that's what matters the most.
All right, moving on to over-unders.
Mm-hmm.
You're one above 500 right now. Let's see if you can stay. You probably can't stay that way exactly, but right. See if you can stay above 500.
That's good math by you. You're right.
Yeah.
We have three. We have to do three, so.
That's right.
Going to be 2-1 or 1-2 or 0-3. We're not going to stay one above 500. We got to listen. The Vikings are on a surge right now, okay? So I'm going to get on a surge right now too. I'm going to match them.
All right. We'll start with one of those Vikings who is definitely on a surge lately, Adrian Peterson. We're going to look at his total yards in this game.
Okay.
If you look at the three divisional games so far, so two against Detroit, one against Chicago, 411 total yards, so rushing and receiving.
Okay.
In those games, that's an average of 137 yards Oof. Per game.
Guy's on fire right now.
He is. So if I put the over under at 137,
oh man.
Would you take the over under for this game?
I'll take the over.
Okay.
Take the over on that. That would be a good day for him, especially you know, against a defense that's going to come in here and gear up to stop him. Can't count on a ton of receptions from Adrian either, and that can really boost your yardage total. But you know, if we were doing a fantasy show and we were doing the old start him or sit him this week, you know, Adrian Peterson, I'd say start him. He's going to get the ball a ton, and quite frankly, with we don't want to sit here and disrespect the team that we're going to play, and I'm not trying to disrespect Green Bay, but no one's been able to stop Adrian this year. Every team comes in gearing up to stop it, and Adrian's ripping off 200-yard rushing games and leading the league in rushing. So I think the role continues this week for Adrian. I'm on the over.
All right, the over it is for Adrian. The next we're going to look at is field goals made from 50-plus yards in the game. We're going to put the over-under at 0.5. So will there or won't there be a 50-plus yard field goal made? And I want to give you a little context before you answer it.
Okay.
Both Blair Walsh and Mason Crosby are 2-for-3 so far this year on 50-plus yard field goal attempts.
They're both very good long-distance kickers, for sure.
They are.
Yep.
Now, it's going to be cold.
It is.
Last time we played here, it was pretty windy.
Mm-hmm.
So those two things could come together and make for a not-so-great forecast for kickers. But another interesting fact is the difference between Blair Walsh's and Mason Crosby's 50-plus yard field goal miss is Blair's missed kick came last week against Oakland.
Yeah.
And in the end, it proved not to really be a game-deciding kick.
We escaped.
Mason Crosby also missed his kick last week against Detroit.
And it was glorious.
As a Vikings fan, it would have been glorious because the Green Bay Packers lost by how many points to Detroit?
Two. I'd say the field goal would have helped.
It would have.
Yeah.
So, back to the question.
Mm-hmm.
Will there or won't there be a 50-plus yard field goal made in this game?
No.
No. So you're taking the under.
I'm taking the under. And, of course, when Blair lines up and attempts to kick one, I'm going to be rooting for him to make it, which means I'm going to be rooting against myself. But, quite frankly, let's score some touchdowns and not have to rely on Blair so much. It's going to be cold. It's probably going to be windy. And you saw going to the open end of TCF Bank Stadium a couple of weeks ago what that did to Jeff Fisher. I mean, Jeff Fisher went for two in the first half because he was afraid to have his kicker kick it that way. And he has a good kicker, Greg Zuerlein, who made a 50-yarder later in the game in clutch time to tie the game. So, I think the elements are going to factor against this. And I'm going to take the under. No 50-yard field goals made in this game.
All right, and for the third over-under, we're going to take a closer look at Rhett Ellison's snaps.
All right.
We talked about it in the first Wobcast this week. We talked about it again today. You said he played 54 snaps against Oakland,
mm-hmm.
9 of them scoring plays. But if we put the over-under at 50.5 snaps for Rhett Ellison, or plays, I guess there's not a snap on a kickoff.
Right.
Or kick return.
Plays.
Plays. 50.5 plays over or under for Rhett Ellison.
We should start calling this the Rhettcast. We talk about Rhett so much.
Yeah.
Yeah. Over.
Over 50.5. Yeah.
I don't know if this is just a rube take by me, like if I'm overplaying this angle, but I mean, with the way we're running the ball with our offensive line, our tight ends and Zach line, I would come out and one running back, three tight ends, or two running backs with Zach Line being the fullback and two tight ends. I would come out in 13 or 22 personnel, and I would just play smash mouth football from the start until Green Bay proved that they could stop it. That's I think, a good idea to do in this game. If the Vikings do that, that's going to be a lot of snaps for Rhett. On top of that, Rhett plays on most of our special teams phases, and there are more snaps than most people understand in a game on special teams. So give me the over. He was over last week. I don't know what his average snaps in a game has been over the course of the season. It's probably right around 50. I think you got a good number there, but I'm going to go over on Rhett Ellison's snaps of 50.5. Give me the over.
All right. So we're cheering for the Vikings this weekend.
Yes.
We're cheering against the Packers.
Of course.
Because we play each other.
Right. But we always do anyway.
Well, that's true.
Right.
You're a good fan, Wabi. You're a good fan. What other teams do we need to keep an eye on, though, this weekend, outside of our own matchup?
We talked about this earlier in the week. The Vikings are doing what good teams get to do, right? They get to, if you're a good team, you get to scoreboard watch.
That's right.
And the Vikings get to do that. So I got four teams for you to watch out for, not just this week, but for the rest of the season. And, we want to take it one week at a time. We don't assume we're going to make it to the playoffs, but we're in good shape at 7-2. And you hope you can make it there when you're at 7-2. So with that in mind, here are teams to watch out for as threats to knock us off once we get to the playoffs, or to even knock us out of the playoffs before we even get there. Here are some teams to watch out for. All right. The Dallas Cowboys.
But they're only 2-7.
I know that, but you know what's happening to them this week, right, Nate?
Yeah, I heard they're getting their quarterback or something.
They're getting their quarterback back. They haven't won a game since they lost Tony Romo. And that was like in week two.
Seems like a long time ago.
But they're not out of their division race. They are 2-7, but they're only 3 games back of the Giants. And they have a victory over the Giants. So all they got to do is tie New York for the division lead when all is said and done. And they're going to have a leg up on the tiebreaker. You figure if they end up with the same record as New York, it will be because they've beaten New York once again this season. So they're going to have the tiebreaker over the Giants. Tony Romo is back. They play Miami this week. I give them a pretty good shot to win that game and to move to 3-7. And now all of a sudden, they're going to have some momentum. I think you got to watch out for the Dallas Cowboys.
They could get some momentum, but doesn't it seem like they would basically have to win out to even be in that conversation?
Not that
they can't do that, but that's a pretty tall task.
Pretty much. But again, they're only 3 back from the Giants. So, they might have to win out. But with Romo and Dez both back now, they might be able to do it.
All right. What's another team?
Bear down.
Chicago Bears.
Bear down Chicago Bears. Don't look now, but your Chicago Bears have won 2 in a row, and they are 4-5. and they play the Denver Broncos, which normally means you're probably going to lose. But this week, it means you're playing against
Brock Osweiler.
Yes, not Peyton Manning, which although the way Peyton Manning played last week, you probably almost rather play against Peyton Manning. But Peyton's going to get healthy and get back to it. And in the meantime, Brock Osweiler is going to play, I think, advantage Chicago. This game is at Soldier Field, so they could win three in a row, move to 5-5. And here's the key with the Bears. The Bears close the season with games against us, so they'll have a chance to make up some ground on us. And then with the Bucks and the Lions, a pair of teams that you would think they'll be favored against. So a favorable end of the season schedule for the Chicago Bears, a team that right now is sitting on a two-game winning streak.
All right, who else?
Speaking of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, they're on this list. Watch out for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. They're 4-5. They've won 2 of 3, and they have games coming up against the Eagles this week, the Colts, and the Saints over the next month. Again, winnable games for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers with rookie quarterback Jameis Winston, with awesome receiver Mike Evans, and with a couple of good defensive players. Now, I don't think the Tampa Bay Buccaneers right now are world beaters, but they're 4-5. They've won 2 of 3, and again, they have a schedule coming up against some teams that I think they'll have a chance to win. So watch out for your Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who are a 4-5 team, but it's in a conference that doesn't have a bunch of teams with a 500 record or better. So Tampa Bay Buccaneers are right in the thick of it.
And I think I know what this last team is going to be.
You do?
Yeah.
Are they on our schedule?
They are.
Do they play in the Great Northwest?
They do.
Are they the two-time defending NFC champions?
They are.
Yes, they're the Seattle Seahawks. Watch out for them. Known for late season surges, Seattle has games coming up this week against the Niners, and then in subsequent weeks against the Ravens, the Browns, the Rams, and us coming up. So I say us because they're chasing us, so that's good for them. To play the team you're chasing is good for you. Even if that team is better than you at this current time, it's good that they're on your schedule because you have a chance to make up a game by beating them. And then I put those other teams on there, Ravens, Browns, and Rams, because with all due, and Niners, because with all due respect, the Seahawks should be able to beat all those teams. So this is a great opportunity for the Seahawks to put together one of their patented late season surges, get into the postseason, and be a dangerous team with that defense and with that quarterback. Speaking of the playoffs, Nate, I think the playoffs pretty much begin right now.
But it's only week 11.
I know, but I'm not going to put the must-win tag on these games. But when you look at the opponents coming up, Packers, 6-3, have won the division 4 years in a row. Falcons, winning record, one of the hottest teams early on in the season. Great quarterback. The Seattle Seahawks, who we just talked about. The Arizona Cardinals, who we haven't talked about, but they're sitting pretty and in line to be the number one or number two seed in the NFC. I mean, they aren't playoff games, but they're playoff caliber opponents. And if you lose too many of those games, you're not in the playoffs. So the quasi playoffs begin now for your Minnesota Vikings. They're 7-2. They're in excellent position, given that only four other teams in the NFC have a record that's better than 500. You want to take it one game at a time, but I'm just saying, you project out and look at what's coming up for your Vikings, and they're going to play a bunch of playoff caliber opponents, and you're going to get down to the nitty gritty. You're going to need to win games to get in the playoffs. So essentially, you're playing in playoff games right now, but we're going to take it one game at a time. And for the Vikings, one game at a time means you're focusing on the green and gold, the Green Bay Packers, who come to town on Sunday. Kickoff will be at 3:25 p.m. Central Time on Sunday. You can catch the game on your television sets by watching Fox. Joe Buck, Troy Aikman, Aaron Andrews will have the call there. But we prefer you catch the game on the Vikings Radio Network because our friends present the game to you that way. It's Paul Allen, Pete Bursich, and Greg Coleman who will have the call from TCF Bank Stadium on Sunday. That's it for this edition of the Wobcast. We're going to be back early next week, hopefully breaking down a big-time Vikings victory as they try and win their sixth game in a row and get a leg up on the Green Bay Packers in the NFC North. On behalf of producer Nate Vaughn, I'm your host Mike Wobshall. Until the early part of next week, we'll talk to you later. So, yeah!